on December 13, 2013. I'm sorry, 2023. And I called a meeting of the Complaint Screening Committee of the Arizona Board of Psychologist Examiners to order. Ms. Michelson, would you please call the roll?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Medina?
Present.
Dr. Stewart?
Present.
Mr. Nguyen is absent, but we do have quorum. Thank you.
Let's see, item three, is there a motion to approve the November 15th regular session CSC minutes as drafted?
So moved.
Second, aye. So all in favor?
Aye.
Say aye. Aye. No one opposed? The motion carries. Okay. So before discussing the cases scheduled for review today, I do have some important information to share for everyone in attendance. The Complaint Screening Committee, pursuant to Arizona Revised Statutes 32-2081H, may dismiss the complaints appearing on this agenda or refer them to the full board for consideration and action. Complaints dismissed by the committee shall not be disclosed in response to a telephone inquiry or placed on the board's website pursuant to ARS 32-2081H1. Upon a vote of a majority of the quorum, the committee may go into executive session on any item on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to review confidential records, or subsection A3 to receive confidential legal advice from the board's attorney, Ms. Jeannie Galvin. Please be aware that the chair reserves the right to change the order of the items on the agenda based upon parties present. Please use initials only for patients, children, and the complainant. In addition, do not state specific diagnoses in open session. Instead, please state the diagnosis of record. Be aware that the content of many records involved in these complaints is confidential, and the content should not be discussed in a public meeting. Be advised that the committee will go into executive session to discuss any confidential records. A person or a representative of a person who has filed a complaint and is present at today's meeting may make a brief statement to the committee up to 5 minutes in length, only when prompted by the chair. Additionally, the licensee or respondent who is the subject of the complaint will also have an opportunity to make a brief 5-minute statement, only when prompted by the chair. The committee may also have questions for the complainant or respondent after their statement is made. Please note that only individuals directly involved in the complaint, which are the complainant and respondent, may address the committee and make a statement. If the committee wishes to hear from any other parties, it will make this request during the case review. For everyone in attendance today, please ensure that your audio remains on mute. When prompted by the committee to speak, the complainant, respondent, and their legal representative may unmute themselves at that time. Please note that individuals in attendance who speak out without committee approval will be warned twice by the chair not to interrupt. If the interruption continues after the second warning, the individual will be removed from the Zoom meeting and not permitted to re-enter the meeting. The first complaint scheduled for review today is case number 24-06 against Vijay Jain. I will provide the committee with a summary of this case as I am the lead. Okay. So this is summary for complaint number 24-06 against Vijay Jain Saidi, holder of license number 3009, issued on December 3rd, 1993. Dr. Jain owns and operates clinical and consulting psychology in Scottsdale, Arizona. Complainant JJ initiated therapy services with Dr. Jain on July 3rd, 2023. They only met once. Approximately 1 month after their only meeting, JJ filed a complaint against Dr. Jain alleging that he raised his voice and yelled at JJ, which caused him to feel anxious. In his response submitted by Dr. Jane's attorney, Mr. Robert Beardsley, Dr. Jane stated that he only had one meeting with JJ, which took place on July 3rd, 2023. During their only session, JJ seemed agitated as he described a situation in which he perceived his rights were being violated. Dr. Jane tried his best to redirect JJ during the session. At some point during the session, JJ accused Dr. Jane of yelling at him. When the session was over, JJ and Dr. Jane set up a follow-up appointment. Later that day, JJ called the office and left a message asking Dr. Jane to cancel his upcoming appointment. Dr. Jane had no further contact with JJ. Dr. Jane denies any allegations of unprofessional conduct and asks for this case to be dismissed. And this concludes my summary to the committee. Okay, is complainant JJ present? Okay. Okay. So, let's see. I don't see them here. So, I'm sorry. Dr. Jane, are you and your attorney present?
I'm here.
Good morning. Robert Beardsley on behalf of Dr. Jane.
Great. Thank you for being here. Okay, if so, you may unmute both yourselves and state your full names for the record, which you already did. And this is your opportunity to make a brief statement, up to 5 minutes. The committee may have questions for you following your statement.
Okay. Good morning, board members. Thank you for the opportunity to address the allegations of the complaint. While I'm confident that the claims made by the complainant lack merit, I want to express my utmost respect for the board's commitment to thoroughly investigate matters of unprofessionalism. It is with profound regard for the board's responsibility that I approach this response. I recognize the gravity of any investigation and appreciate the board's dedication to maintaining the highest standards in our profession. For this reason, I welcome the opportunity to provide any information and clarification necessary to facilitate a comprehensive review of the situation. So truthfully, I don't really have much to say regarding the complaint's allegations that is not already included in my written response. So I did see the complainant JJ only once on July 3rd, 2023, in response for his request for psychological treatment for his anxiety. And during our appointment, the complainant was outwardly nervous and unsettled. So he endorsed a past diagnostic history as detailed in my written response as well. Throughout our session, he became increasingly agitated. And he communicated a belief that police were working in concert with his mother to secretly search his home when he was away. He was extremely adamant about this belief. I asked him particular questions to guide JJ to distinguish between delusional beliefs and objective reality, and JJ became even more frustrated and more intense. I attempted to de-escalate the conversation, but his agitation persisted to escalate. At some point in time during the conversation, JJ accused me of yelling, and I advised him that he had misconstrued the conversation in my tenor. After this exchange, JJ did calm down enough for me to complete my interview and to discuss a follow-up appointment, which JJ committed to at the time, but later he called and canceled that appointment, advising that he would go to get help from YouTube. I deny that I ever raised my voice or yelled at him. I'm not a yeller. JJ's allegation is not keeping with my personality or practice. In my 30 years as a psychologist, I have never been accused as a yeller. I make a habit of modulating my tone regardless of the level of my client's delusion. In my appointment with JJ, as I saw him getting more agitated, I tried to make him as comfortable as possible so that I could gather as much information as possible to better understand what was going on with him. I do believe the facts speak for themselves, and I'm hopeful this board will discern the truth. I appreciate the board's dedication to ensuring the integrity of our profession, and I'm fully cooperative with any inquiries that may arise during this process. I thank you for your time, understanding, and continued commitment to maintaining the standards of our esteemed profession.
To follow up on that, board members, thank you for your time and consideration. We're respectfully requesting that the Complaint Screening Committee dismiss this present complaint. As you've just heard, Dr. Jan strenuously denies the allegations of the complaint, and I don't believe there is any evidence which could sustain a finding of unprofessional conduct in this matter. much less clear and convincing evidence. That said, my client welcomes questions from this board, if you have any, to assure you of that conclusion. Thank you.
Great, thank you. I do have one question for Dr. Jane. So I heard your statement that, you know, you denied raising your voice during your meeting with JJ. Do you think that anything that you said or how you said it may have given him the impression that you were either yelling or upset in any way, in any manner?
Well, I can't begin to understand what he was experiencing, but I did realize he was agitated. So I'm very well aware and I'm considerate of what's going on in the meeting. And as I stated, I have no idea what he was thinking, but he rambled about this allegation that he made about, you know, the police doing whatever they were doing. So my guess is, yeah, there was probably some experience that he had, but it wasn't that I changed how I conducted myself. I was very consistent in regards to how I approached the situation.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Stewart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Jan, greetings this morning. Hey, thanks for being here. You have your training is quite well in terms of psychological disorders. You've spent time with the Honolulu Police Department as well as the Veterans Administration. You've also spent time with inpatient psychiatric patients. During any of those times, did you ever incite anybody to yell and scream and lose their composure?
No. However, I will add one thing.
Okay.
This is a colorful story. During the times I was interviewing with the Honolulu Police Department for incoming cadets, one of the tasks that that was given to me by the police commissioner was to simulate stress in a controlled setting. So to answer the question, yes, I did incite people, but that was done for a job interview.
Okay. In a deliberate, pre-planned fashion,
yes.
Sounds like.
Right.
In your contact, your single contact with JJ, I noticed that he gave you some significant history of previous diagnoses. And at least one of those lends itself to some manifestations of behaviors that are quite erratic at times. Is that your consideration as well?
Certainly.
Diagnosis, please.
Sorry, I'm sorry, what was that?
Without disclosing the diagnosis, please.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm just alluding to there are a couple of previous diagnostic statements from other providers that you listed, and at least one of those would lend itself to manifestations of erratic behavior. Is that your understanding as well?
Yes, that was my consideration because he offered that to me. Because we didn't have enough time to pursue it, I wasn't able to get more information about that. But that was a consideration for sure.
Yeah, thank you. I have no further questions, Madam Chair.
Right. The committee will now begin deliberation. Please note that deliberation is a time for committee members to deliberate the case among themselves without interruptions from complainants, licensees, attorneys representing licensees, or any other individual. I will begin the deliberation since I am the lead on this case. You know, in all honesty, I do not see any evidence of unprofessional conduct in this case. In my opinion, I would move towards dismissal, Dr. Stewart.
I second that.
Your
second that motion.
Okay. So I have a first and a second. So I move that complaint 2406 be dismissed as there is no evidence of violation of statutes or rules by licensee. And Dr. Stewart gave a second in this case. So hearing no further discussion, then I will call for the vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Complaint number 2406 regarding Dr. Jane has been dismissed. The licensee and complainant will be notified in writing by board staff in the near future regarding the committee's decision today. Moving on to the next agenda item. Thank you, Dr. Jane and Mr. Beardsley, for being here.
Thank you, board staff and board members. We appreciate your consideration.
Okay. The next complaint scheduled for review today is case number 24-10 against David Jocelyn. Dr. Stewart, would you please provide a brief overview of this complaint since you were the lead?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. This is also an interesting case brought by a former patient that Dr. Jocelyn had come into contact with, and Dr. Jocelyn's work at the Arizona State Hospital. Over time, when he was doing a residency there, as well as after completing his degree and training, the complaint is one that Dr. Jocelyn either promoted or did not defend the patient against quote unquote harassment from other medical staff at the hospital surrounding an issue of taking medications. So very similar to the first. There was indication that this is not, first of all, it's my understanding that in Title 36 and other proceedings similar to that, that the staff attempt to coach and to get the patients to be compliant with medical treatment, with medical psychiatric care. And that is commonplace in the industry, especially in inpatient psychiatric setting. There was indication from the complainant, RW, that he felt that this was had reached a degree of harassment against himself by the medical staff, and that Dr. Jocelyn did not defend him. Dr. Jocelyn's response is, again, listing his training. He's been the attending psychologist for the forensic unit at Arizona State Hospital. And he has had contact with the complainant RW. There's a abject denial of any inappropriate or unprofessional conduct against RW, nor was he complacent in allowing others to do the same. And that's about it in a thumbnail.
Dr. Medina, before we continue, may I make a disclosure, please?
Yes. Yes, go ahead, Ms. Galvin.
Mr. Cohen and Dr. Jocelyn, my name is Jean Galvin. I'm legal counsel to the committee and to the board. I previously represented PSRB during the time, Dr. Jocelyn, that you were there. I believe we've had contact. You would appear before the board to, you know, provide information about those you were treating. So I believe we've had previous contact. It will not affect my ability to advise the committee should they need legal advice, but I wanted to make that disclosure to you and to your attorney to see if you had any objection.
Thank you. No objection.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Gavin. Is complainant RW present? I do not see him. Okay, then we will move on. Dr. Jocelyn, are you and your attorney present?
Yes, we are. Thank you.
If so, you may unmute both of yourselves and state your full names for the record. This is your opportunity to make a brief statement, up to 5 minutes. The committee may have questions for you following your statement.
Good morning. My name is David Cohen. I represent Dr. Jocelyn. Dr. Jocelyn, go ahead and introduce yourself real quick.
Good morning, board members. I'm Dr. David Jocelyn.
Members of the board, thanks for the opportunity to briefly address you, and I will be brief and briefly summarize this case. As stated, Dr. Jocelyn is a psychologist at the Arizona State Hospital. He has multiple duties, which include discussing discharge planning with patients as their sentence expiration approaches. The complainant, RW, has been at Arizona State Hospital since 2013 after he was found guilty, except insane, for 3 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Dr. Jocelyn has been the complainant's attending psychologist since January. The complainant's diagnoses are in his records that were submitted. The patient has a history of filing board complaints. He has a history of filing complaints with the Adult Protective Services. He has a history of filing complaints against providers with the Arizona State Hospital. All of his complaints have been dismissed. The patient's projected sentence expiration is on March 16 of 2024. So it's coming up. And as a result, and as a result of the admitted challenges that the complainant has indicated that he will face when going out into the real world, Dr. Jocelyn and the rest of the patient's treatment team, including his psychiatric nurse practitioner, opened a discussion with the complainant, simply to discuss the complainant's willingness to take psychiatric medications to help him get through those challenges outside. Dr. Jocelyn cannot prescribe those psychiatric medications. That discussion occurred one time on September 18th of this year. Dr. Jocelyn and the patient's psychiatric nurse practitioner simply brought up the issue, provided him information, and asked the patient to consider whether to take psychiatric medications when he gets on the outside. The patient wasn't badgered. The issue was not pressed. In full disclosure, in compliance with the standard of care, I suspect this issue will come up again before the patient's discharge date in March to try to help the patient as he transitions from 10 years at the Arizona State Hospital to the outside. But again, it will be a suggestion, it will be provision of information, and it will be a discussion. There will be no pressing, there will be no badgering. The patient's complaint does not rise to the level of discipline or unprofessional conduct, and it's respectfully requested that the screening committee dismiss it at this point. Dr. Jocelyn is here and available to answer any of your questions.
Dr. Stewart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Jocelyn, in your experience in an inpatient psychiatric setting, have you found that yourself or other the medical staff have harassed patients beyond an acceptable level?
Absolutely not.
Okay. In terms of recommending that a patient take psychotropic medications, especially looking at discharge, is this done for some type of personal gain by you? Do you have interests in the drug companies that manufacture whatever the medications are being recommended?
No. Again, my answer to that is absolutely not. I have no interest with any pharmaceutical companies or anything like that.
Would the recommendation for a long-term psychiatric patient housed at the Arizona State Hospital, would a recommendation that person continue to take psychotropic medications when upon discharge? Would that be in the patient's best interest as well as the best interest of the community?
Certainly, that was our aim.
Okay, I have no further questions, Dr. Medina.
Great, thank you, Dr. Stewart. I do have one, and thank you for being here, Dr. Jocelyn and Mr. Cohen. I think from, reviewing the case, I think it's pretty clear that this patient does not want to take medications, right? And hasn't done so with the exception of something briefly in the past. And he has been there for 10 years. So are you required to bring up the topic every so often? Is that a requirement?
Yeah. There's no timeline in terms of how often we have to bring it up, per month or per year or anything like that. It's usually a clinical judgment and a decision made as the treatment team consults with one another. But but that being said, it does come up frequently.
I have no further questions. Okay, the committee will now begin deliberation. Please note that deliberation is a time for the committee members to deliberate the case among themselves without interruption from complainants, licensees, attorneys representing licensees, or any other individuals. Dr. Stewart, would you please begin the deliberation since you were the lead?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. In looking through the complaint and also the patient records provided by Dr. Jocelyn and his representing counsel, it's pretty clear to me that Mr. Cohen is absolutely correct in terms of describing previous litigious and complaint behaviors of various sorts. I know for a fact in inpatient psychiatric settings that we frequently attempt to have patients take prescribed psychotropic medications for the benefit of the patient as well as for the benefit of the community. Many times when they do not do that, as the attorneys know and Dr. Jocelyn knows, we beginning January 1, 2024, the Rule 11 statutes have been altered to include a third prong, and that is if somebody is deemed not competent and not restorable, that there is the examiner, the court can order the examiner to address the issue of dangerousness to the community. And this certainly would be something that's in the future, perhaps, for this complainant. Madam Chair, if I may make a motion, I move that this case be dismissed.
Second. Okay. Second. Okay. I provided the second for the motion. Is there any further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, I will call for a vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Complaint number 24-10 regarding Dr. Jocelyn has been dismissed.
Thank you for being here,
Mr. Cohen and Dr. Jocelyn.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Welcome. Okay. And item number 5, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Okay. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. This meeting is adjourned at 9:00 in the morning.